This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today at the start of this festive week. It is, as you hear this conversation, the 23rd of December, but I'm recording it now with Björk Bjarnadottir, a friend of RÚV English Radio, previous guest on the show, sometime in the middle of, well, not even the middle of November. Do you feel Christmassy yet?
No, not so much, even though everybody are going crazy with all the beautiful Christmas lights.
Yes, guilty. Guilty as
charged. You're guilty.
I am very much. So what I thought we would do today, and thank you very much for this, is have a look in some detail at how Icelanders do Christmas. Now, as I say, the conversation that we're having now will be first heard on the 23rd of December. So let's imagine briefly it's the 23rd of December. That's an important day on the festive calendar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Þorláksmessa. And that's, of course, the day before 24th, and Icelanders have their Christmas on the 24th, and it starts 6 o'clock in the evening when the church bells ring in the Christmas,
yes.
Or that we call Christmas Jól.
Followed by, or preceded by, 10 minutes of silence
exactly.
On RÚV.
Exactly, a little bit of silence.
The radio goes quiet, yes,
yeah.
which is
and
which
everybody
never happens
turn on the radio RÚV and they want to hear the Christmas bells.
Yes, so the 23rd then.
Yeah, that's the time when we have, like, skata. It's like rotten fish, if you can do the short translation on it. And the ones that don't want to have skata, they have salted cod. And that's the end of the fast. And then we had started to celebrate.
Mm.
And when I was growing up, that was the time we would decorate the house.
Not until then?
Yes, on the 23rd. And I grew up in Blönduós, in the far north. And my mom and dad, they took me to the little store. There was only one store in the village.
Yes.
And they would put like Christmas lights in the window. They were jumping on skis that were going down little slides. And it was magical to see.
Yes.
It was absolutely magical. And
when did it start changing then? Because, I'm guilty of having the Christmas decorations up in November, as we were saying before we switched on the microphone.
It was like the sacred time for putting up decorations.
So,
and we were so happy and we were so glad. We always did it in the evening on 23rd. But now we have changed.
When did that change happen? Is it because people enjoy having lights on in the winter?
I think so. The darkness has become so much after... I think lots of this has to do with climate change.
Mm.
We have so much darkness because the snow isn't coming that early. We have so much rain.
Mm.
We have so much heavy in our weather. So the lights are the one we want to have within.
Yes. We don't know what the weather's going to be like on the day of this conversation.
We hope it's going to be a little bit snow.
Yes.
Well, and we call it Red Christmas.
Red Christmas?
If there's no snow.
A Red Christmas?
I don't know why, but it's called Rauð Jól.
Okay.
Red Christmas and white Christmas, of course, when we have snow.
Well, coming from the UK, the chances of there being a white Christmas in Iceland are higher, I think it's fair to say, than the chances of there being a white Christmas in the UK.
Yeah.
So the rotten fish is an optional meal today on the 23rd of December.
Yes.
It's not compulsory.
So you don't dress up in your fanciest clothes when you go to the restaurant that is giving you the skata, because your clothes are going to be stinking. So people that live in apartment buildings, they have to get permission if they're going to, you know, boil up skata.
Okay.
Because it's going to stink. All the hallway is going to stink. So it's usually you go to a restaurant and they are getting more and more busier. This tradition comes from Westfjords, the western part of Iceland. But now it has been spreading all over Iceland as it brings people together. And that is what food always does. It brings people together wherever you are in the world.
What does it taste like?
Oof, have you tried shark?
Do you know what I did? But the shark, the hakob...
It's a little more salmiak in the skata. It cleans out your nostrils.
Okay, right. Because the shark that I had, it was just a small piece. It actually didn't taste of anything. I was expecting it to be, horrific.
But I'm a very bad ethnologist regarding old fashionable food. I don't eat any of it. Except maybe dried fish.
Yeah, well, dried fish with a bit of butter is pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very nice.
At any time of year. So it's the rotten skate, or if you want, the salted cod.
And perhaps. The people are running around in buying the last Christmas presents before the stores close late in the evening. And some people, they just can't buy Christmas presents until very late on Þorláksmessa. Even though they try, it's just, in their blood. I got to be late with the Christmas present. I got to have the Christmas stress in me. I got to do it. I got to find the right present. I will find it tonight.
Because I think if anyone's listening to this and panicking that they haven't got the right gift yet, I think you can still go shopping until about midday on the 24th.
Yes, you can go a little bit. You've got a couple of hours. Yeah. But the main present in Iceland and the most popular one is a book.
Yes, yes.
So we call it Bókajól or Christmas or Book Christmas.
Mm.
And then our authors, they try to publish the books maybe in November, October, just before Christmas.
The book flood.
The book flood, exactly.
Yes, yes.
And that is the most beautiful thing in the evening when you have opened your presents and you get the book you've been wanting to have and you cuddle up in your sofa with the dessert, maybe a little bit of cognac, and you read your favorite book or the book you think is going to be your favorite.
So that's the tradition on the 24th of December.
Yes.
And the 24th, of course, here in Iceland is the day that Christmas is really celebrated.
Yes.
Other places think of it as Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
and it is Christmas Eve, but it's also Christmas Day, I suppose, isn't it, in Iceland?
Aðfangadagur, it's, yeah, I don't know what you call it in English. On the what do you call it in English, the 24th?
The 24th is Christmas Eve.
Christmas
and
Eve,
and then 25th is Christmas Day.
Yeah, we call it, exactly, it's Christmas Eve, Aðfangadagskvöld. And the holy time comes around 6, and it's probably linked to Catholic times when we were Catholic. We were Catholics here until the 14th century, then we changed. And some of the habits were here, and that's that. Mm. The holy time starts at 6. And then we sit down by the dinner table, and in the old days, the people used to have ptarmigan. The poor people used to have ptarmigan, and the rich people had lamb.
Mm.
Or kjötsúpa, meat soup in old days. But now ptarmigan is the food of the people that can go up to the hills with guns. And not many people have that now for Christmas food. But it's very traditional for few, like quite a bit of families.
Mm-hmm.
But now people are having like Christmas Eve is the time maybe you have always the same certain kind of festival food.
Okay.
Maybe leg of lamb, maybe ptarmigan. Maybe lobster, something very tasty and quite expensive and something that you don't have often.
Yes.
That's what we have then. And the desserts are often homemade ice cream or something that your grandmother or great-grandmother always made. And I'm making a homemade ice cream that my grandmother used to make and my mom always makes.
Flavored with what?
Vanilla.
Okay,
so it's
but really creamy.
Whipped cream with eggs from my chickens and vanilla bean, and it's absolutely fantastic.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I really want some of that now. So when we get to the 25th of December, it's not like everything stops.
No.
That's a real family day, isn't it?
That's the family day.
Yeah. Because you've opened the presents on the 24th.
We open the present after the big meal, and it's so difficult for the children because we want to do all the dishes before we open the presents. And they wait and wait and wait. And they've been waiting all day long. And some families give them one present just before the meal.
To keep them quiet.
So they can be a little bit quiet. And then when all the dishes are done, we sit down by the Christmas tree and we choose maybe somebody that just start to read. And he or she or it, they read.
And so
on the parcel.
So there's no present opening on the 25th.
No.
That's all done by then.
On the 24th. But sometimes in some families, we keep it on the 25th because we want to be like maybe all together.
Yes.
You know, and we open the presents maybe together, but it's mostly on the 24th.
Right.
And then we have evening coffee. Lots of people have very nice cakes, all kinds of cakes that we bake for Christmas are eating that evening.
The closest I got to baking ever in my life, I think, was to buy the, you know, the tubes of dough that you can get from the supermarket. They're basically cooked already. You're just, well, they're ready made. And I made cookies last year. I say I made cookies. I cut these into shapes. But I'm so useless at making any sort of food that I didn't realize that you had to put the icing on after they'd baked. So I put the icing on to the dough and then put it into the oven. And, of course, the icing just exploded in this horrible yellow mess all over the cookies. Tasted okay.
It just, like in old days, we didn't have much of flour. You know.
Mm.
So the people started to make those thin, beautiful cakes that we make for Christmas that we eat with the smoked mutton.
Yes.
And they called laufabrauð or leaf cakes. Mm. And they were that thin because the flour was so expensive. So each person was allowed to make maybe one or two cakes, and he or she would eat that during the Christmas.
Okay.
And you would cut beautiful patterns in it. And then they are fried. They're like fried bread. Maybe a little bit like papadom, if people understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then the patterns, they go through each family. Like my father, he taught me the patterns that his grandfather taught him.
Really?
So I'm teaching my son what his great-great-grandfather taught my father.
Ah, they're like hallmarks.
Certain kind of, kind of patterns. And we cut them with knives when they're, of course, just dough. They're round, thin cakes. And then we fry them and we eat them cold with either hot or cold smoked mutton.
Mm. They must fry very quickly because they're really thin, aren't they?
They fry very quickly and they are so tasty with butter.
Yeah.
And they're so nice with the Christmas food. And they are like, it's like eating Christmas when you eat them.
And if you're lazy, of course, or if you're like me, you can't cook anything. You can buy them in the shops already, can't you? They're all there.
And then when my mother was preparing Christmas when I was little, there were like 9 different kinds of small cookies she made. And then 2 kinds of big, huge cakes. And then my grandmother always brought a huge cake. And there were always hot homemade chocolate with whipped cream that jumped on your hot chocolate. And I just always think about my grandmother. She passed away the year 2000. When I have hot chocolate with whipped cream that jumps on your hot chocolate. It's just magical when you see, you know, real cream jumping on your hot chocolate. So for me, Christmas are lots of memories linked to food and old traditions.
A friend of mine said to me the other day, and he was joking, he said, you're the only person I know that's moved to a different country because they do Christmas so well. And there's a little bit of truth in that, because I do love Christmas, and I think Iceland is a very Christmassy place. But of course, we're actually talking not about Christmas, we're talking about Yule.
Yeah.
Yule.
Yule.
With different traditions in a way. I mean, it gets to the same place, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about some of those traditions in a couple of minutes. But let's just guide us through the 25th of December.
Yes.
Which, as I say, is a family day. The presents have been opened the night before. What happens on the 25th of December?
On the 25th, it's just a very sacred day in Iceland. You can go to the church. You can go to the church also on the 24th in the evening, like an evening mass.
Mm.
And on the 25th, we also go to church, the ones that want to. And like I told you before, it's the time when we stay together as a family. We watch a beautiful, like a great movie.
Mm.
We eat together a good food. We laugh together. We read our books. We lie under the blankets. We eat the cookies. We go maybe sleighing or on skis if we have them in our hills. And then we come back inside and eat more. So it's lots about being together, reading books, watching movies, and eating a lot.
And something else that really appeals to me about Christmas and Yule here in Iceland is that I think the word for the 26th of December is something like Annaðjól, which is another Christmas.
Yeah, Annaðjólum. And then there are more festivals. And maybe then we drive out of town, maybe to a community that is 1 hour away for more Christmas parties.
Yes.
And meeting up and having a lot of fun together. And we also, sometimes people have arguments in the family. Some people worry about Christmas.
Yes.
And often, sometimes, so a little bit worry sometimes. Like, it's time sometimes of worries for lots of people.
Of course, and that's true everywhere. But it sounds like there are 4 days of Christmas
then. Yes, there's 4 days of Christmas.
You've got Christmas Eve when the festivities start on the 24th.
Thorlaksmessan.
Then Christmas, so then the 24th. Yeah.
And then Aðfangadagskvöld, Aðfangadagur, and Aðfangadagskvöld on the 24th. Jóladagur on the 25th and annar jól on the 26th.
Another Christmas.
And then we also have like lots of nice holidays. Mm.
Yes, indeed so. And I think the way the calendar falls this year, people are at work on the 27th and the 30th, but there'll be a lot of working from home those days, I think.
Yeah.
But so we're all into New Year.
If we look at the name Jól,
yes.
What does it mean? And nobody knows. There are lots of theories.
This is Yule in English, isn't
it? Yule. Yeah. There are lots of theories, and nobody can prove what's the right one, but probably in the core, it means a feast. And it's a time where the Vikings met, and it's a time where the light is coming back to us.
Mm.
It's a time when the darkness has been, pressing us down, and the lightness is going to come again, and we know the day is going to get longer. And that is the time when people were meeting up and they were having probably ale, jólaöl, drinking together. And maybe it was like a feast and happiness and sacrifice time. And this time of year is the, you know, most darkness before it comes. And this is the time of the creatures. This is the time of the ghosts because they travel by the night.
Yes.
This is the time of our 13 Santa Clauses. And Grilla, our boogie woman, and her husband, the Lapaloodi.
Yes.
And the Yule or the Christmas cat, Yola Kötter.
Yes.
That eats the children that don't get any new clothes and grown-up clothing and for Christmas.
Isn't that just the grimmest tradition, that a poor child who doesn't get new clothes is then further punished by being eaten by
the Christmas cat that is huge and he's the pet of Grilla?
Does any of this line up with Christian Christmas, the birth of Christ, as Christians would believe? Because a lot of, you know, a lot of Christmas traditions go back to pagan days.
Yes.
There's a lot of paganism, I think, in the Christmas Yule. But does it line up with the Christian Christmas in any way, other than in terms of the same time?
Oh, no, it was not, I wouldn't say, except for the light. It's the festival of the light and the happiness. And they were like, it was very conventional, like very good when we changed the religion, that we could have Christmas, the Christian Christmas, on the same time as the pagan festival was for the light.
Mm-hmm.
We were also celebrating the light, but different light from Jesus Christ. But it was the nature light that the pagans were celebrating.
Yes.
And coming together. And regarding the Christmas tree, where does that come from? How come we are dragging a tree into our living room? Why? And decorating it with lights.
Now, that's a pagan thing, isn't
that's
it?
That's the pagan thing.
Yeah.
It's a tree of life.
Yeah.
It's Yggdrasil that we have in a Northern mythology.
Yes.
But it's also the one we bring the life into our living room and we decorate the life, we put lights on it, and we celebrate together that the lightness, the brightness is coming back to us.
Mm.
And when you look at the tree, it's the one that reminds you also of that the life always comes back, whatever happens.
So it's about renewal.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And we have that here. And I was just listening to people arguing, should I have a plastic Christmas tree or a new, like one that has been chopped down? And they were arguing a lot. But now you can buy a living Christmas tree in a pot.
Yes.
And then after Christmas, you just put it out. And then the spring comes, you can put it down in the earth. So I think that is a nice addition.
It is, although sometimes it can get out of hand because many, many, many years ago, maybe 25 years ago, when my partner and I were driving up to the north of Scotland to see my parents for Christmas, at the last minute I stopped off to get some extra gifts in a garden centre. And for 50 pence, it's like half a pound, so what's that about? It's about 80 kroner or something. I bought a tiny little Christmas tree in a pot, inside a pot. It couldn't have been more than sort of 10 centimetres tall or something. And so they had that over Christmas, and then they placed it outside in their garden. They planted it, and it's now taller than the house.
Wow.
So, yes, just be careful because they can get big.
There's another thing I want to share with you. That's when the children start to put their shoe into the window.
Mm.
Like we have 13 Santa Clauses and they all have different names and they live up in the mountains with Grilla, the boogie woman, and her husband, their father, Lepaloodi. And they start to come down one and one by one, 13 nights before Christmas.
Mm.
And the children put a shoe in the window and when they wake up in the morning, there's always some tiny little present there. It could be one little mandarin, it could be a little chocolate, it could be a little Lego, or a toothbrush, or a sock, or a mittens. And they are so excited with this. But sometimes the parents use this as a little punishment. That if they don't go to bed and they haven't been behaving quite good, they get horrible thing in the shoe. And it's called potato.
Okay.
And it's the biggest shock, and it's so humiliating to get potato in your shoe.
It's worse than having no present.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
And I've seen a child that got potato.
No.
I've seen it, taken it out of his shoe. And the disappointments were so horrible that you never want to do this to your child.
No, that's a horrible thing.
I know. But the tradition originally comes from Europe when we had, you know, sailors and they were working on the ships and they came home to Iceland with present for the children, they somehow got this idea that it would be nice to put stuff in their shoe. That was around 1930.
Yes.
And it suddenly went out of hand and people were putting money in their shoes and lots of children were so disappointed that they didn't have parents with any money. So mothers and women who work in a childcare, they went and talked to the National Museum of Iceland. How can we manage this stuff? So the National Museum of Iceland worked with Radio Roof around 1950 and they broadcasted that we have 13 Santa Clauses and they put very simple little things in the shoe 13 days before Christmas. And that fixed the problem.
Let's talk about the Yule Lads then.
Yes. Because
about a year ago, well, it would have been a year ago, obviously. 12th of December it was. I'm just looking back last year. The first Yule Lad making his way down from the mountains. And this was at the National Museum. I went along to see it happen. And this was Sheep Coat Clod Stekkjastur was the first. So they all come down in the same order then from the mountains?
Yeah. Stekkjastur kom fyrstur, stinnur eins og tré. He's the one with the stiff legs. And that's why he's called Stekkjastur.
He's got the stick as well, isn't
he? Yeah, and he got stick. And they... The ones that are in the National Museum of Iceland, they are dressed like old-fashioned Yule Lads or Jólasveinar that we had in Iceland. And they are dressed in like old traditional wool clothing. So they got so popular. They started doing this in the National Museum of Iceland 1988. So the children can meet each and every Santa Claus that come each and every day. And they come and they sing their little rhymes.
Yes.
They talk to the children. They tell them what was happening on the way down from the mountain and how Grýla is doing. But I haven't shared with the radio what Grýla is. She's our boogie woman. And she's the one that eats naughty children. And she makes a soup out of them.
And she's not the cat that eats the children. This
no,
is someone
the
else
cat eats the children that don't get any new clothing for Christmas.
So it's a dangerous time for a child, I suppose, isn't it? You've got cats running around eating you.
And our Jólasveinar used to be horrible. They used to steal our food, they used to tease us, they used to harm the animals. But suddenly they got milder, you know? We can laugh at them now, but people used to be, and children used to be so terrified.
Yes.
And my grandfather, Páll Stefánsson, he was born the year 1912, and he grew up in a turf house in the north. And I interviewed his sister after he passed away. I was only 7 when he passed away. And she told me a little bit about the Christmas in the turf house. She said, we had a handmade Christmas tree. And our father made it out of wood.
Okay.
And just before Christmas, we went out and we gathered juniper branches and bearberry. And we wrapped all the branches of the tree, Christmas tree. And then in the evening, we had Christmas and we got candles. And we got cards, playing cards. And during the night when our mom and dad were asleep, we sneaked to put a light on our candles and we played our cards. And it was not loud at that time because it was said the devil could come into the cards.
Yes.
And we played all night while my mom and dad slept. And it's such a beautiful memory. They were so happy.
Yeah.
That was the
yeah.
most popular gift in the old days in Iceland were candles and socks and mittens and playing cards.
So practical as well.
And then the books came in.
Yes. Now, the last time we spoke, you and I, was for Halloween. And we talked then, or you talked then, about this being obviously an Irish festival that has been adopted in Iceland, but with the American stuff coming on top of it as well. And so you've got this sort of blended Halloween. It seems like the same thing is happening to Christmas. So you've got these very strong Christmas, or Yule traditions, I should say, in Iceland with the Yule Lads and Grilla and all of that. But obviously the influences from other parts of the world. So we've got the... You know, we've got the tinsel and the baubles and we've got the, I don't know, turkey maybe. People will still traditionally eat that
turkey
on Christmas
Turkey is coming very strong in.
So it's a blended Christmas.
It's
now,
a very
it?
Blended yeah. regarding food, but we most people always have the smoked mutton and a leg of lamb or a rack of lamb. And now we also have, like, people are eating, like, vegan and we have lots of vegetarians. So families have been learning everything about nut steak, you know, making food for the ones that have a special kind of diet.
Yes.
So our menu is always changing, but we always have this strong core that are the homemade cookies, the homemade desserts, and certain kind of sauce. We always got to have this sauce with the steak and or that sauce. So, yeah, and then we see something new. Wow, well, that is interesting. We should try that. But we always keep what we are grew up with.
Yes.
And then, of course, we get married and we take in the traditions from the ones we got married to. And we start to meet other people during Christmas and there were different kind of traditions. And it's also, it's always very often very hard when you get married. Mm. Where are you going to stay for Christmas night?
Yes.
Where are we going to stay? And then we have to make agreements.
You've got 4 days to choose.
Yeah,
though.
We stay with the parents there. We're going to be alone in that evening. And then yes. We're going to meet these people that evening. And then we're going to do this. And then finally we're free.
At least until New Year comes along.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about presents, because obviously books are important. We've talked about some of the other gifts as well. But I don't know whether this is true. You might remember whether it is or not. I'd heard that some years ago, pretty much everyone in Iceland gave a Ronco foot spa to everyone else, which were these devices that sort of plastic balls of bubbling hot water you could stick your feet in and relax. Did the whole country give each other this for Christmas?
I think so. It went absolutely crazy. And that, I would say, was a very American.
Yeah.
That we buy stuff that we think we are supposed to buy. And I think the thing for this Christmas, hold on tight, infrared sauna.
Infrared sauna.
And they're talking about, I was in one of those a few weeks ago, and the women were talking about if they should buy one from China or not, or the German one for Christmas present for their husband. And, you know,
well,
infrared
I think
sauna.
People's income must have gone up if we've gone from the Ronco foot spa to the infrared sauna.
I know, that's the reason. They were like, it's cheaper from China, should we buy that? Yeah. No, but maybe it's not as good quality. We get crazy with that. And then it's always something new for each Christmas that everybody are buying. You know, maybe Nutribullet was one Christmas.
Yes.
Spandex clothing, because everybody were doing, you know, biking on mountain bikes and kind of speed bikes and... You know, we go a little bit crazy sometimes. And then we try to slow down because we don't want to be that big consumers. We know the planet is drowning.
Mm.
And one of my best friends, she works in a secondhand market in Westman Islands called Kubune. And it supports a little health clinic in Africa. And they are selling little suits for children for 500 Icelandic kroner. For Christmas.
Is this quite a large second-hand shop in Vestmanna? Yes, I've been there.
And it's very organised. It's beautiful.
It's lovely. And I'll tell you, again, such a fan of Christmas, but I was there making shows for Roof English Radio, I think, in September.
Okay.
And I took my own car and took the ferry across. And so I had quite a lot of room to take things back. And so I went into their Christmas room at the back of the shop, which was already being, constructed. And I bought a whole bunch of stuff back in September. So that's the same place I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So I personally go to secondhand stores to buy tiny things that are for the Christmas tree, but I use them to decorate the parcels.
Yes.
So they're very beautiful things you can find on secondhand markets.
Absolutely.
That you can't get anywhere else.
You can save a lot of money doing that as well.
You can save a lot of money and you can save lots of pollution. You know, lessen the pollution that we are making during Christmas.
And I know that the City Library has done a number of Christmas gift or decoration swaps that probably happened by the time this conversation is published. People can take along their old Christmas decorations and exchange them for someone else's old Christmas decorations, or maybe swap a Ronco foot spa for another Ronco foot spa.
And
I wonder if any of them are still working.
Sorry?
I wonder if any of the foot spas are still working.
I don't know. But the thing is, we also make, we call it Christmas in a box. It's in a shoebox. And then we put those boxes here in our shopping mall and they are taken to Ukraine, to children and orphanages.
Mm.
And they are making lots of children happy. And I recommend to everybody that try to give something that is, people are worrying now, what should I give to the person that has everything?
Yeah.
You know, in the old days in Iceland, you only had one pair of clothing and they went crazy before Christmas. They washed everything and the children had to stay in a bed. Because their clothing were being washed. And people used to have the only things they owned would fit in a little box.
Yeah.
And after they died, it was just a box that somebody inherited. So how much are we inherited now?
Mm.
It's overwhelming when we get something from somebody that died. We get a whole house, maybe a whole garage full of stuff. What are we supposed to do with all this stuff? So that's the thing. I always want to, you know, put pressure on that people go back to their roots and try to make life simple but beautiful and use the old traditions in a good way. And we should all work together on it. That's the thing.
And we've also spoken this year, you and I, about your trips to Vide Island to gather the herbs, to gather the cumin on the island. And I know that you're very interested in plants and herbs and their properties as well. How much does Iceland's own herb life or plant life feed into a traditional Christmas here in Iceland? How much use can be made of those plants and herbs?
Well, the juniper berries, you can use that as a spice for the steak. You can cut thyme, wild thyme, that's our blóðberg. It's like a very strong scent. I cut that with scissors, I dry it in June, and I use it on the lamp. It's excellent. Mm. I dry it in the shadow, and I keep it in a glass jar, and I use it on every steak I put in the oven, like lamb. So those are very good things to use. You can pick blueberries to make a beautiful jam with a steak. You can pick rifsber and freeze them and make like a jelly for the reindeer steak. So there's so many things you can make that are special for the Christmas, that you only make for the Christmas out of the herbs or the berries that grow during the summertime and the fall. And it's very important to learn these things, to pass them on to our children, because we all need roots. We all need to know where we come from. Even though people don't think it's important, it is very important to have roots.
And traditions. I think it's amazing what you said about each family having their own pattern for the loifibir.
Yeah.
That's I didn't know that.
Some of them have lots of the same.
Yeah.
But like my family, we have a pattern that I haven't seen many people making.
Yeah.
That are making laufabröð. And the thing with the leaf cakes, laufabröð, is that you made those patterns so nobody would eat your cake in the old days.
So you knew it was yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was your cake. And you're like, now we're like, eat maybe four during one meal.
Yes.
In the old days, you might take maybe two or three bites and keep it until next meal. And that is what happened in Iceland. We weren't growing any wheat and corn. So grautur, like something you would boil in a pot, would be like a Christmas stew out of some kind of grain. And then we would make maybe kleinur or pancakes, like fried bread and fried donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And before we got the stoves, everything was fried. So when the stove came to the farms around 1920, everybody went crazy with baking cakes and all kinds of cakes. And then the rhubarb comes strong in because the women made rhubarb jam.
Yes.
During the summertime. And now they could fill off the half moon cakes with rhubarb jam. They could make like beautiful lagkökur with many layers with rhubarb jam in between, white layer cake. So the rhubarb changed everything in Iceland regarding baking cakes for women and making desserts.
How long do the leftovers last once you get past another Christmas, once you get past the 26th of December? Is there food left over from all these feasts for days and days to take us through to New Year?
Sometimes, exactly. Like maybe with smoked lamb. You can be eating that until the New Year.
Yes.
And then the sauces, we enjoy having leftovers and watching more movies. And lots of us, we pick up very good movies to watch during Christmas. We don't watch, like, we don't flick for a long time on Netflix. We have picked the ones we want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And when the New Year is coming, that's the time when our hidden people, huldufólk and álvar, hidden people and elves, are traveling. And they go to church and they pass through your house and everything has to be cleaned.
Is that when they do their errands then, when they do all of their duties?
They are going somewhere and they're going to have fun maybe in your house. So it's better be clean. And if there's one person taking care of the farm, he or she is not allowed to talk to them when they come and dance in your house. Because then they can be killed.
Okay.
And you stay and read your book.
So if you see them, you just ignore them and let them get on with the dancing?
Exactly.
Is that the best thing to do?
And then when you know the day is coming, you say, thank God the day is going to break. Yeah. And they all run out and leave all the treasures in the farm. Gold and silver and diamonds for you.
I feel we could have a whole other conversation about New Year, but I think New Year is simpler in Iceland, isn't it? Because it's basically bonfire, fireworks, Áramótaskaupið, and then more fireworks. And that's basically
it. Yeah, that's basically it. And the Santa Clauses are slowly going home.
Yeah.
And the last one goes on the 6th of December.
Yes.
Back to the mountains and takes it easy. And I made up a new menu for our Boogie Woman. During the summertime, she's baking hot dog breads.
Mm.
And she bakes hot dog breads that 1-year-old fits in and 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. And she puts all those hot dog buns in her freezer. So she's not only making soup, she also eats children like hot dogs. And she also likes going to the ice cream stores and get a child in a cone.
A child in a cone?
You know, you get ice cream.
Can't imagine that on the menu.
Do you want to dip? She wants her child a chocolate sauce. I'm telling this to my little boy.
This is really grim, isn't it?
He thinks it's funny.
It really is. It really is. And you've taken some books along today, one of which I just quickly want to mention, which is this one here, the one that you're holding just now, which is called Komajól.
Komajól. It's by Hallgrímur Helgason, and I really like it. I always like everything new that's coming in, and I love to bring new tradition into the folklore. And Hallgrímur Helgason, he made this book, and it's about the 13 jólastúlkur. And these are the girls, the daughter of Gríla. And they are called Bjalla and Grílurós og Litlaljós og Fantasía and four more names. Mm. But he made those beautiful drawings from them, and he's just talking about those Christmas girls. So we also have Christmas girls.
Because why should there only be Yule lads?
Yeah, exactly.
Yule girls.
Jóla stúlkunar. Mm. Og svo is a very good book called Skuggahliðin Jólana. And Eva Maria Jónsdóttir and Rósa Þorsteinsdóttir tóku saman. And those are texts from Árnastofnun about many things linked to Christmas. And there's a Santa Claus in front, and he is called Luna Slettir or Long Slapper. And we used to have about 80 Santa Clauses with crazy names. But Long Slapper has his lungs outside of his body, and he runs around the farm and tries to slap his lungs on the people. I don't know if they're cold or warm. I don't care. They're both disgusting.
I think if my lungs were outside my body, I'd go to a doctor rather than chase people around the farm and slap people with them. I think that would be my priority. But some of these books as well, I think in some of them at least, the text is quite simple. So if you are trying to pick up a few words in Icelandic, you could maybe enjoy reading these.
Yes, I would say that the most classical one, the book, is called Jólin Koma, and it's been published 30 times, 3-0 times in Iceland. And it's Jóhannes úr Kötlum that made the text about the Christmas lads, and the drawings are made by Tryggvi Magnússon, and it was first published in Reykjavík 1932. And this is the book that all the children love to be, hear those stories about the Boogie Woman, about the Christmas cat, about the 13 Yule lads, and there are drawings of each and one of them. And this is a classical, beautiful book that I recommend everybody should have. I don't know. I think it's been published in English. I'm not sure.
Is the text difficult? Is it readable for someone who's picking up
Icelandic? If somebody is trying to pick up English, I would recommend trying to read this, because those are beautiful words that is good to have in your vocabulary.
Read me a paragraph.
Okay, here's about the Christmas come. Jólin koma. Bráðum koma blessuð jólin. Börnin fara hlakka til. Allir fá þá eitthvað fallegt í það minnsta kerti og spil. It means soon the Christmas come, soon our blessed Christmas are coming, the children start to look forward to them, everybody will get something beautiful, at least a little candle and playing cards.
Yeah, I heard that at the end, at least a candle or maybe the cards, the playing cards.
And this is a song, it's called, you can find that beautiful song. It's very nice.
We were going to play a song, I think,
that
we discussed before we started our conversation. So let's end with that. Tell me about the song that you suggested.
Yeah, it was very hard to choose a song, but I decided to choose a song that a woman that has the same name as I have, Björk Guðmundsdóttir, my name is Björk Bjarnadóttir, she sang that song, it's called Jóla Kötturinn. And it was recorded in 1987, and it's about the Christmas cat.
So this is Björk singing before she was famous, at least before she was famous
just
outside of Iceland.
On the edge.
On the edge of fame with the sugar cubes.
Yeah.
Singing about the Christmas cat. So we'll conclude our conversation there. We will talk again, Björk, I have absolutely no doubt, because you have got, you're taking some time to write a book about your passions, aren't you, which will be coming out when?
Hopefully next year.
Next year.
Introduction to Ghostology or Inngangur að draugafræðum.
Ghosts in Iceland.
Yeah, Ghosts in Iceland.
Okay.
And then I want to write a book, a little book about, it's called The Little Ethnology Books. And then I want to write a book about the plants and the legends linked to them and about hidden people and the trolls and the outlaws. So I have lots of ideas I want to put down on book. But as I work as a storyteller, it's so, you know, there's so much need to be, the stories to be heard. And the people are always asking me, where can I hear more? Where can I read more?
Mm. I've really enjoyed hearing these stories today. At the start of the festive season, let the fun begin.
So say, gleðileg jól.
Gleðileg jól.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Sömuleiðis. Thank you very much. Takk fyrir, Björk Bjarnadóttir. We'll talk again.
Takk.
And here is, to play us out, Everything You Need to Know, sung by Björk, about the Christmas cat. Beware.
Sína flík fullorðnu hjá og kvöldar á jólakvöldi og katturinn gæðist inn stóð vörðin spært og rjóð með bakulinn sinn Hann leifaði stjælinn sterkan stökk og klórað og blés og var í mestu upp í dag eða út um les Hann sinnaði saltinn og grimmur í samkvöldum jólasnæ og vakti í hjörtunum hrað á hverjum dag En það var rimlega úti var ólokað samstundis vís allir vissa Fátæka fólkið sem fekk enga nýja spjör Fríólin og barsleð og bjó við báðust björ Frá því tók að nættið í einu allan þess jóla mat og allan svo oftast að sjátt ef hann gatt sem að við fengið svundu og sem að við fengið skó eða eitthvað sem þótti það Hún fæsti þá heldur ljóð og hljópa á braut Hvort fennir hún til veit ég ekki en naumiði hennar för Ef allir eignuðu snæst einhverja skjör Þið hafði nú kannski í huga að hjálpa þau verður á Máske finnist einhver börn sem ekkert Thank you.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.